Welcome back to Sefer Shoftim in person. Right, we were off for a couple of weeks, and then the weeks before that we zoomed, so we did it virtually. But Baruch Hashem, we're back in business in person. Chodesh Elul, a new start, and hopefully we'll get a couple of shiurim in before Yontif starts, and then again probably we'll have to take a little break till after Yontif. So we're up to Shoftim Perek Ches. And we're learning, of course, the story of Gidon. We learned Perek Vav already. We started the story of Gidon, Perek Zayin, the last Perek. We discussed the victory over Midian, how Gidon and his men, only 300 men, as we learned, came into the Midianite camp, literally scared them to death, and they were killing each other and running in all sorts of different directions. They ran away, and that was the end of the camp, and that was essentially the end of the Perek. So after this battle, one of the things that happened at the end, and this is important to understand the first couple of psukim here, but one of the things that happened at the end of Perek Zayin was that after the Midianites, and we learned it wasn't only Midian, it was also Amalek and the Bnei Kedem, and after all these people scattered in all sorts of different directions because they were so scared, so after that happened, the Gidon sent messengers to Shevet Ephraim, and he asked them to pursue some of the kings that had fled, some of the troops and the kings that had fled. And Shevet Ephraim jumped in and picked up the slack, so to speak, on the back end, and they participated. However, as we see in the beginning of Perek Ches, they felt slighted. They felt slighted. Why? Because as the Malbim explains, if you go back to Perek Vav, Gidon at first called upon several Shvatim to come, Menashe, Asher, Zvulun, and Naphtali. He did not call Ephraim. After the battle, right, after already the battle was done and everybody was running, then he sent messengers to Shevet Ephraim, can you guys come help out? So they did it. They did it because, you know, Gidon sent messengers, they're not gonna deny, they're gonna do it. But at the same time they felt slighted, they were very upset. And they were insulted that how come in the beginning you didn't call us? Right? In the beginning you called all these other Shvatim, Menashe and Asher and Zvulun and Naphtali. And now, you know, at the end of the battle you call us to, you know, clean up, so to speak, you know, to clean up the mess. But how come we weren't invited to the battle at the outset? So Vayomru, the Pasuk begins in Pasuk Aleph Perek Ches, Vayomru, Elav, Ish Ephraim, Mahadavar Azeh Asisalanu. What are you doing to us over here? What is this that you did to us? Levilti karos lanu ki halachta lihilachem b'midyan. You didn't call us when you first went to fight with Midyan. Vayirivun ito bechazka, and they were angry. Right? It says they fought with him with anger, with strength. No, they were really angry. They were really upset. They felt insulted that Gidon did what he did. And again, you know, it's interesting because sometimes I think in life someone asks us to do something that we're not happy about. So what do? We don't do it, right? If you know, that's what you're asking me to do, I'm not interested. No thanks, right? That's not what Shevet Ephraim did. They did it because they realized their leader had asked them to do something, right? They weren't going to say no. Our leader asks us to do something, we did it. Afterwards, we'll come to him and we'll complain. But we're not going to, like, protest. You know, we're not going to just fold up our arms and say, you know, if that's the job you're giving me, I'm not interested. Right? They did what they were asked to do. And then afterwards they came and they said, you know what, Gidon, we're a little bit upset. We feel insulted the way that you treated us.
Rabbi, what were the tribes upset that Gideon said for God and for Gideon, he equated the two?
It doesn't, I don't know. The Mefarshim don't say that. They don't say that anybody was upset by that. And it seems clear that, you know, as many of the Mefarshim explained, and I think that the soldiers and the tribes understood this, is that when they said that, they weren't equating the two. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who was winning the battle for them. Gidon was the shaliach, and he was the general. He was the one on the ground that was helping them out. But they knew that Gidon was the shaliach of Hashem. I don't think they felt, I don't think they were upset about that. Okay, so comes Pasuk Beis, and Gidon has to respond to the angry mob. They're upset. So what's he going to say to them? Vayomer aleihem, me'osisi ata kochev. He says, what am I doing now that's like what you did? Halo tov olulos Ephraim mivitzir aviezer. Literally, the way that I saw it translated is that the gleanings of Ephraim, are better than the harvest of Aviezer. Now, Aviezer was the family of Gidon, right? Gidon was from the family of Aviezer. So he's referring to his own family. So what he's saying here, as many of the Mefarshim here understand, that he's bringing a mashal from the grape harvest. Olulos and Batsir are references to the grape harvest. Batsir are the best grapes. Those are that's the main part of the harvest. Those are the good grapes, the main part of the harvest. Olulos are the gleanings. Those are the things that you kind of collect afterwards, the shvach, you know, the weak grapes, the grapes that are not such good quality. So what many of the Mefarshim say is that Olulos Ephraim, that even the worst grapes of you, of Shevet Ephraim, are better than the best grapes of us. Meaning that you guys are great, right? Don't think that I insulted you by calling you at the end. Just the opposite. Because what am I asking you to do now? And as we're going to see, that he's asking them to go capture the officers of Midian. So he's saying, I saved almost the best job for you. Because you guys are the best. You guys are the top. You know, you guys are like the Shin Bet, you know, the Mossad. You know, that's why I saved this job for you. It's not that I asked you to clean up the mess, right? And, you know, we did all the glorified battle work, and you guys just have to clean up the mess. That's not what's going on. No. You guys are doing a very hush of a job. In fact, he's saying, what I'm doing now doesn't even compare to you. Right? What am I doing now that compares to what you're doing? You're doing something that's so much more important. So he's trying to appease them. He's trying to make them, put them at ease, so to speak. And in fact, Mitzudas David points out here that there's an added element here also, that they're going to finish off the battle. And Gideon says, how's the victory going to be known? As whose victory? If you were the ones who put the finishing touches on, it's going to be your victory. Right? The guy hits the winning shot. Nobody remembers that, well, somebody had to score all the points leading up to that winning shot. The winning shot, you know, it was a one-point game, right? But the guy who won the winning shot, everybody remembers him, because he won the game for them. So says Ginon, you guys are winning the game for us, right? You guys are the ones who are cleaning up, so to speak. You're conquering you're capturing the officers at the end, and you're going to kill them. You're finishing off the battle. So therefore, the battle's going to be known, the victory's going to be known as your victory, not as my victory. So Adarabba, just the opposite. You guys are the best. You guys are okay. The Malbim, of course, in his own way, analyzes this, and he says that, you know, what Gideon's response really was, you know, why are you upset? Are you upset because you feel like I took all the glory? I'm going to take the glory and all the honor of this victory, and you're going to get nothing? Like, just like we said before, you guys are going to get the glory because you finished off. And if you're worried, if you're upset that my actions are greater than your actions, that's also not true. Because I just began the fight. I just started the battle. You guys are going to accomplish more. You're concluding the battle. You're going to accomplish more. So number one, your actions will be greater. And number two, you're going to get the kavod. You're going to get the honor. So you don't have to worry about the honor and the glory. You're going to get it. So therefore, he put them at ease and he tried to relax them. And he continues in Pasuk Gimel, B'yedchem nasan Elokim es sarei midyan. Because in your hands, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the officers of Midian, not just the camp, but the officers of Midian, specifically Es Orev Ves Ze'ev. These two officers, we read their names earlier, Orev and Ze'ev. Umayacholti Asos Kachem. What could I do that even measures up to what you're doing? Oz Raf Saruchab. Then says the Pasuk, they said, oh, you know what? You know, what Gideon is saying makes sense. So their spirit of anger weakened, lessened, they calmed down. May Allah, I'm sorry. Excuse me, b'dabro adavar azeh. Right? As he spoke these words, as he said this, they relaxed, they calmed down, and they were appeased by this, and their anger subsided. The Malbim points out here also, excuse me, the Pasuk says, b'yedchem nasan Elokim es sarei midyan. He says that what you're doing by capturing the officers so shows a gvura. You know, it's one thing to go after the common soldiers, the regular soldiers. But when you go after the generals, when you go after the officers, and you go to capture them and to kill them, that shows a heightened level of gvura. That shows a heightened level of strength and might and military might. Right? So you guys are really chashuv to the point where it's called b'yedchem nasan Elokim es sarei midyan, that Hashem gave them into your hands, not my hands. Even though I'm the general. Right? I'm the Jewish general over here. It doesn't matter. B'yedchem. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them into your hands. because it's your gvura, it's your might that's going to win the day here. So, you know, it's a fascinating conversation because they come to him so irate. You know, the pasuk says, "Vayirivun ito bechazka." They come to him so irate, and he's able to calm them down by just flipping their perspective. You know, that's it. And you know, so often when you have a machlokes, it's an interesting insight into machlokes in general, because so often when you have machlokes, it's all about perception. Someone feels slighted. Someone feels insulted. It's because of the way they're perceiving something. It's because of the way that they see the picture. And if you're able to reframe the picture, if you're able to make them or help them think about things in a different way, all of a sudden, all their anger, you know, subsides because they recognize, hey, it's not so bad. It's not what I thought. Right? It's not exactly the way that I thought it. So often people that are able to help in cases of machlokas, whether it's a rabbi or it's a therapist or whatever the case is, usually there's no added information that's added into the picture. The parties know the information. But sometimes it's just a change in perspective. Sometimes just you have to look at things from a little bit of a different way, from a different vantage point. And that's exactly what Gideon is saying. You know, you guys are not just, you know, cleaning up the mess. That's how they viewed it. They viewed it, oh, you know, you did all the glory work and you came to us to clean up the mess. No, that's not what's happening here. Right? We started and you guys are concluding. You guys are going to carry the banner of the victory. You guys are the ones who are going after the generals, which requires more gvura than what we did. You guys are really the ones that deserve all the honor and the glory. And then, you know, they started to think about it. Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. So we see Gideon here has an ability not just to fight and not just to lead an army into battle, but also, you know, interpersonal skills. You know, what do they call it? You know, mediation. You know, he has the ability of, conflict resolution. You know, Gideon is an expert here. Okay. Now, Gideon's not done though, because even though Ephraim took care of Orev and Ze'ev, but there's a couple more Midianite generals that Gideon, you know, has his sights on. So Pasuk Dalet continues, Vayavo Gideon Hayardena, Over Hu, Ushlosh Meos Ha'ish Asherito, Ayefim Verodfim. So Gideon begins to give chase across the Yarden. They're in Eretz Yisrael and they're going east across the Yarden. Now if you remember, we learned in the last perek that one of the things Gideon did, he was a smart general. As soon as the Midianite camp began to scatter, if you remember, he sent messengers not only to Har Ephraim that they should kill people and capture people, but he also sent messengers, if you remember, that they should close all the bridges. Do you remember this? Close all the crossings. He wanted them to conquer all the crossings, shut them, seal them. So that these guys, the Midianites and the Amalekim and the Bnei Kedem, they're starting to run. They're running for the hills. We want to catch them. We want to trap them in Eretz Yisrael so that we're able to kill them, to capture them and to kill them. They shouldn't just be able to run freely out of Eretz Yisrael and go back home. Right? So he sealed all the exits, so to speak. So here, what happened was that, and there are a couple different explanations of what happened. Some said Mitzudas David gives a couple of different explanations. He says that either there were these two generals, which we're about to learn about, by the names of Zevach and Salmuna. These two Midianite generals, Zevach and Salmuna. And so they apparently were able to escape. Right? That's what the Mitzudas David says, according to one shot. They were able to escape before, you know, Gideon's men were able to get to the crossings and seal them. They were able to get over the bridge, you know, and back to Aver HaYarden on the other side. So Gideon says, okay, I'm going to chase them. I'm going to cross the Yarden and give chase to them. Another explanation is that perhaps these generals actually never came over. Maybe they stayed in Aver HaYarden, right? They stayed in, you know, outside of Eretz Israel, and they just sent their army, you know, with maybe a lower general. They sent their army to fight the Jews, but they really stayed back. Gideon, once he defeats the Midianites, he says, I'm going after the chiefs. Right? I'm going after the generals now. I'm going to go into Aver HaYarden, and I'm going to go out of Eretz Yisrael to get those generals and to kill them. So according to, you know, either one of those interpretations, Rashi interestingly seems to work with the interpretation that they did escape. They were in Eretz Yisrael, and they were able to get out early. And not only were they able to get out, but says Rashi, they were wreaking havoc now in Aver HaYarden. Keep in mind, some of the Jews lived in Aver HaYarden. Who lived in Aver HaYarden? Reuven, Gad, and half of Shevet Menashe. Well, these two Midianite generals, once they were able to escape the battle and get out of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't just run home and, you know, and rest on their couch. They said, hey, there's more Jews here. Let's cause more problems. So they started taking the land of the Jews in Eber HaYarden. They started terrorizing the Jews in Eber HaYarden. That's what they started doing, says Rashi. So therefore, this wasn't just that Gidon, you know, wanted to get them just for the sake of getting them. They actually were still causing problems, these guys. They were still causing a lot of tzaras to the Jews in Eber HaYarden. And Gidon said, we have to put a stop to them. We have to capture them. We have to kill them. So therefore, Gidon comes. He crosses the Yarden with his 300 men. Right? Keep in mind, that's all he had. That was the whole force, right? He started off with like 30,000. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept telling him, get rid of these guys. I don't want so many people. I want a small army. So it ended up with 300 men. He's got the same 300 men. He says, guys, let's go. We're going into Eber HaYarden. We're going after Zebach and Samuna. He goes, and these men are tired. Ayefim verotfim. Keep in mind, these guys, I mean, they've been fighting all, you know, for the last probably couple days. You know, some say this all happened in one night. You know, some say this, so that like the whole night, you know, these soldiers are still fighting. So they're tired and they're tired and they're chasing. Pasuk Hey, they come to a place called Sukkos. Okay, right? Sukkos we read about in the Torah that it was a location in Eretz Yisrael. So they come to Sukkos, Sukkos was a Jewish city, interestingly enough. Vayomer la'anshei Sukkos. So Gidon comes to the people of Sukkos. And he says to them, "Tenuna kikros lechem la'am asher b'ragloi." He says, "Do me a favor. I got 300 men here. They're starving. They're tired. Do me a favor. You know, give them some bread. Give them some bread. Give them something to eat. You know, they're coming. They're hungry. They're tired. If you don't mind, give them something to eat." Ki ayefim heim. They're tired. They're exhausted. Ve'anochi rodef acharei zevach v'tzalmuna malchei midyan. And we're chasing the two Midianite generals who either got away or they never came, whatever the case was. But we're chasing these guys. You know, we need to rest a little bit. These guys need to eat. If you don't mind, give them some bread. The Malbim, the Malbim is always fascinating. He always provides, you know, two or three ways of understanding something and breaks down the psukim. It's amazing, you know, how the Malbim does this. So the Malbim says we have to read very carefully. Who does he talk to first? He talks to the Anshei Sukkos, the men of the city, the regular people of the city. Okay? He says there are two reasons why people in a city would be obligated to feed soldiers that are passing through. Reason number one, very simply, is tzedakah. Tzedakah. You have people here, they're hungry, they have no food, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like they're home and they have food. So they're on the road and they're hungry and they have no food. So they're entitled to tzedakah. There's a fascinating related to this. You know, there's no coincidence in life. I was just learning Mishnayos with my son. We're learning Mishnayos Peah. So we came across a Mishnah that discusses that, you know, this would never happen. I mean, I shouldn't say never, but it almost never would happen nowadays. But somebody's traveling and runs out of money. So nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we all have credit cards and a couple of credit cards. You know, even if we run out of cash or we can't get cash, we spend money. Whenever we get an email from somebody that they're in a faraway place and they're stuck without money, you know, we know it's a scam, right? Because these things don't happen, right? But in those days, times of the Mishnayos, there were no credit cards. Right, so somebody took some coins with him, and maybe he lost them or he spent them. And he's traveling for months. The guy ran out of money. He could be a wealthy businessman, and he's got fields and a whole plantation back home. But meanwhile, he's hundreds of miles away from home. He doesn't have a penny to his name right here. So the question is he entitled to take matnos aniyim? Can he take tzedakah? Right, the guy really has money. He's a rich guy, or he's he's a middle class fellow. But right now, he's in a place where he has no money. So the Mishnah says, of course he can. Right? Right now, he doesn't have any money on him. He has no way of getting the money. He's stuck. He's a poor person. Right? So the machlokas in the Mishnah, does he have to reimburse when he gets home? Right? When he gets home, does he have to send him a check, you know, for the payah that he consumed in the field? Does he have to reimburse the aniyim from that city? So one opinion says he does, one opinion says he doesn't. That's an interesting machlokas. But here also, it's the same thing, says the Malbim. It's mamash the same idea. These soldiers, they weren't poor people necessarily. They may have had, you know, jobs and money and farms back home. But right now, they're ayefim verodfim. Right now, they're tired, they're hungry, they have no money, they have no food. Right? So says the Malbim, the people in the city are obligated to feed them. Midin tzedakah. They're obligated to give them charity, they're obligated to give them tzedakah. That's one thing. He says, number two, even forgetting about tzedakah, he says, they're an army, they're the Jewish army, and they're chasing after the enemies of the Jews. Because of that, the people are not necessarily obligated, but he says that the elders of the city, the mayor, the governor of the city, is obligated to give from the taxes of the city. From the taxes of the city, is obligated to give and support these soldiers. Why? Because they're fighting for our cause, right? The Midianites are coming, you know, they're our enemies. This is our army, and they're fighting against our enemies. We as a community, not as individuals in the community to give tzedakah, but we as a community have to give from the taxes we have to pay and support these people. So first, right, which aspect was Gideon coming at first? So says the Bible, read the pasuk carefully. What does it say? Vayomer hu litok tu la'anshei Sukkos. First he came to the people. He's asking for tzedakah. First he came to the people of Sukkos. And what did he tell them? Ki ayefim heim. They're tired. They're hungry. They have nothing. Please give them something to eat. Gideon first tries that. And then he adds in, and he says, not only are they aniyim, right? They're poor people. You got to feed them. But also, they're shluchei mitzvah. Why are they shluchei mitzvah? Because they're on the way to capture and kill Zevach and Tzalmunna, who are these two Rishayim, these two wicked kings, right? Wicked generals. So they're also shluchei mitzvah. Now, what happens in Pasuk Vav? Very interesting. Who responds? Vayomer Sarei Sukkos. Who responds? Not the people of Sukkos, the officers, right? The governing board of Sukkos responds to Gideon, and says the Malbim, what happened here? In Pasuk Hey, who did he address? The Anshei Sukkos. He addressed the people of Sukkos. In Pasuk Vav, who's responding? The Sarei Sukkos. Why? What's going on? So he says it must be that the people turned him down. The people said, you know, well, we're not interested. We're not interested in giving tzedakah today. We're not interested in supporting the soldiers. So he said, okay, they're not going to give tzedakah. I have to turn to the government and ask them for taxes. I have to ask them for money to support the soldiers who are fighting their enemies. So he comes to the ask them, and what happens? What's their response? Hachaf zevach v'tzamuna ata biyadecha? Kinite im litzvah achalachem? Say the elders of the city, the governing board of the city, do you have the hands of these generals in your possession? Have you already captured them? That now we should feed your soldiers? They're also refusing. Why are they also refusing? Because their response is, you know, you haven't succeeded yet. Maybe you're going to go to battle against these generals. Maybe they'll kill you, right? Maybe these generals will win. So, I'm sorry? At least the full stomach. But they were worried that if we're paying from the taxes of the city to the army, we want to be certain that this is going to be a good investment. Maybe it's not a good investment. And maybe, who knows, maybe you're not supposed to chase them. Maybe Hashem will be angry with you. You know, they were questioning Gideon. They were skeptical. I'm not sure that you're doing the right thing. And therefore, we're not going to support you. The Mitzudat Zion says that if you haven't gotten them yet, obviously you guys are not so good. Right, you guys are a schleppy army. You know, you're here, you're begging for food. You're a schleppy army. Yeah, you know, we're not so interested in supporting a schleppy army. You know, if you were Giborim, if you were mighty warriors, you would have had them already. You know, you let them get away, and now you're chasing after them. You know, we're not so interested in supporting such an army. Whatever the case was, but it's just fascinating that they refused. Right, fascinating. You know, who would refuse this? Who would refuse this? But again, keep in mind, you know, Gideon was not around very long. Now, he's a brand new general, and this is a brand new army. They were victorious, and they did scatter this very large Midianite force. But at the same time, it's not like he has the confidence. It's not like Yehoshua, who was the leader for years and years and years, and has the confidence of the entire Jewish nation. People like, you know, Gideon, what's your name? You know, what's your last name? Who are you? You know, they're not so sold on him just yet. Well, Gideon, you know, suffice it to say, is not very pleased with their response. Right? And Gideon being a general, he has some violent response to them. And he tells them, okay, if that's the way you want to roll here, not more than that. Vayomer Gideon, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Gideon, Lochein, Beseis Hashem Ezevach Vetzamunu Biyadi. So he says, okay, if that's the way you want to play, so then when we're actually successful, because he says we will be successful, Hashem is going to give us Zevach and Tzalmunna. We're going to kill them. When we kill them, I'm going to come back here. And he says, when I come back here, you're not going to be very happy. V'dashti es besarchem es kotzei hamidbar ve'es habarkanim. He says, apparently this was a place, the Radak suggests that there was a very, this was an area that was like overgrown with a lot of thorny bushes and trees and a lot of like, you know, tough type of terrain. He says, we're going to take these thorns, and we're going to thrash you with them. right? That's how you're treating us. We're helping you. We're going after your enemies, and this is how you're treating us. Well, we're going to come back, and we're going to show you that that we were victorious, and you're wrong, and we're going to thrash you. We're going to kill you, essentially. Right? We're going to take these thorns, and we're going to thrash you with them. You know, different interpretations what they were going to do to them. Were they going to take the thorns and beat them with them? Were they going to take the people and throw them into the thorns? All different interpretations what exactly they were going to do. But either way, however you understand the exact punishment, Gideon is not messing around here. If this is the way you're going to treat my army, we're doing something, not only are we doing something to help you, we're doing something to help Hashem. Right? This is Hashem's army here. This is how you're treating us. This is your Chayiv Misa. We're going to kill you for this. We're going to come back after we conquer Zerach and Samun. We're going to come back and we're going to kill you with all these thorns that you see here. Not very pleasant. Pasuk Ches. Basically, but it sounds like it wasn't even a threat. He wasn't threatening. He was just stating a matter of fact. He says, okay, we're going to go then. We're not going to hang around here. Don't give us bread. But I'm telling you, you're going to be punished for this. It was a punishment. It wasn't a threat. They didn't change their mind. He didn't wait around for them. He didn't wait around for them. No, this is how you're treating us. That's it. We're out of here, right? But we're going to come back, and you won't be very happy with us, right? So that was Gideon's response. You know, I mean, you have to. You know, it's you think to yourself, you know, what were these people thinking? You know, what were these people thinking? Gideon comes. He has 300 men. It's not like he's doing something wrong. I mean, the guy's going after Midian for crying out loud. You know, he's going after the kings of Midian. You know, what were they so skeptical about? And they were punished for it. You know, they were punished for it. But it's, you know, sometimes people are very short-sighted. They're just thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their pockets. You know, they're not thinking about other people and what they need. You know? You know, it's you got to think about other people.
Rabbi, according to the...
Me'am Lois. Let's hear it.
That the Midianites were thinking, what if Gideon loses? The Midianites are going to...
Yes.
...that we helped you. And we're going to have no bread to show for
I alluded to that. Right, exactly.
Really
some of the Mepharshim say that they were a little bit nervous that Gideon was going to lose.
Exactly.
And because they were nervous he was going to lose, they weren't so willing to... But even so, you know, even so, like Kiwi said, at least feed the guys, you know, at least... Okay. I mean, listen, they obviously did something wrong. Because you see, Gideon punished them in a very severe, very violent way. Obviously, he felt that they were doing something wrong. This is not how you treat the army coming through. Pasuk Ches, Vayal Misham Penuel. So they go up, and they go up from there to Penuel. Vayedaber Alehem Kazos. And Penuel was another city, and he asks them the same thing. Will you give us some bread? And what's Penuel's response? The same response as Sukkos. We're not giving you bread. And Gideon is blown away by this. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what's wrong with these people, right? Vayanu also anshe Penuel kasher anu anshe Sukkos. And the people of Penuel answered him in the same way that the people of Sukkos did. The Rambag says that Gideon was shocked. He was shocked at the evil of these two communities. How could they do this? How could they just refuse, you know, these hungry soldiers and just refuse them, even if there's a chance that we might lose? How could you do this, such a thing? Gideon was shocked. So he tells Anshe Penuel also. He has some choice words for them as well. Pasuk Tes, interesting, a little bit different here. Vayomer gam le'anshe Penuel le'mor. So he tells the Anshe Penuel, Bishuvi v'shalom. He says, when I return in peace, meaning after I defeat, you know, the Midianite generals that I'm going after, and I come back, etotz es hamigdal hazeh. I'm going to destroy your tower. I'm going to destroy your tower. So apparently in Penuel, there was a large tower. There was a large tower. And he said he was going to destroy it. Now, all the Mepharshim say that if you look in a couple of psukim, Gideon's going to come back and kill the people of Penuel also. So how come he's not saying that? When it comes to Sukkos, he was very clear that he was going to come back and kill them. Right, he told them even how he's going to kill them. He's going to kill them with these thorn bushes, right? But when it comes to the people of Penuel, he doesn't say that. He says, "I'm going to destroy your tower." Okay, destroy the tower. You know, it's not pleasant, but at least not going to kill us. How come he didn't say, "I'm going to kill them also"? So many of the Mepharshim say that he was being strategic here. He was being strategic because he felt that if I tell them that I'm going to kill them, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that, you know, they're going to get together, Penuel and Sukkos, and they're going to say, you know, Gideon said he's going to come back and kill us. Both cities. So let's join forces so that when he comes back, you know, we'll be able to defeat him. And Gideon was nervous that if both cities of Sukkos and Penuel joined forces against him, they might actually beat him. So what he said to Penuel was, I'm going to come and knock down your tower. So they said, no. Right? They weren't so worried. Okay, he's going to knock down our tower. Nishkeferlach, as they say, right? So we'll build a new tower. So the people of Penuel are not so alarmed by his threat. So therefore, they're not going to go to the people of Sukkos and say, hey, we got to figure something out. Gideon's going to kill us. They're gonna rest on their laurels. Okay, if he knocks down our tower, he knocks down our tower. You know, they're not so nervous. So he did this on purpose. He hid from them the fact that he's going to kill them. He really will kill them. But he didn't tell them that because he didn't want them to be on edge. He wanted them to be relaxed. And this way, he'll come and he'll do it. You know, he'll come and take care of them, chick chock, and nobody will know the difference. It's interesting. The Alshich points out that what we're about to read after he actually comes back. Which city does he go to first? He takes the long route back and he goes to Sukkos first. Why? Because Sukkos, he told them he's going to kill them. So he wanted to take care of them first. Because if he comes to Penuel first and Sukkos hears about it, then they're going to, you know, then they're going to fortify themselves. Then they're going to get ready. So he went to Sukkos first, took care of business, killed them. And then he came to Penuel. Penuel's not expecting him to kill them. They're just expecting him to knock down their tower. And then he comes and he surprises them and he kills all of them. Now, why the tower? Why this whole business with the tower? So so many of the Mepharshim say that they had this. It was like a fort, you know, this tower, and they were relying on the strength of this fort. So it's almost like he was punishing them midah keneged midah. That you think you're relying on the strength of this fort, you're not relying on Hashem. I'm going to punish you by knocking down your tower and then killing you. Right? The knocking down of the tower was also like a lesson to them that you can't rely on towers. Right? When it comes to battle. We're Jews, right? We're Yidden. We don't rely on towers. You have to have towers. You have to have planes. You have to have all sorts of things that we have to have. But that's not what we rely on in the end. In the end of the day, we rely on the big man upstairs. We rely on the Ribono Shalom in the end of the day. Right? We got to do what we got to do. But we don't rely on the towers. I'm going to knock down your tower and show you that that's not going to save you. Your tower's not going to save you. By the way, this is a running theme. Apparently, Gideon learned this theme from the Ribono Shalom himself. Why? Because what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say at the beginning? I don't want you to come with 30,000 men. Why? Because then what are people going to say? He defeated Midian and Amalek because he had 30,000 men. I want you to get rid of 29,700 of them. Come with a force of 300. Right? Because then when you defeat Amalek and Midian with a force of 300, everybody knows that's coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's coming from Hashem. That's not a military victory. Right? It's like, you know, it's like the state of Israel. Right, when the state of Israel is able to wipe, you know, is able to, you know, Baruch Hashem, all the miraculous battles that they've had over the course of history, right? You know, when the state of Israel is able to do it, you know, it's Yad Hashem behind it. Because they didn't have as powerful a force as the other armies, right? Kadosh Baruch was behind them. Okay. Now, Pasuk Yud, V'zevach v'tzalmuna, so these two generals that they're going after, they were there. Bakar Kor, they were in a place called Kar Kor. That's where they were holed up, in this place called Kar Kor. Umachaneim imam, they weren't alone. They had an army with them. Their camp was with them. Kachameshes asar elef, 15,000 men. So these two Midianite generals are holed up in this place called Kar Kor with a camp of 15,000 men. Kol hanosarim mikol machaneh v'nei kedem. This was all that was left, by the way, says the pasuk, of the entire camp of Midian and v'nei kedem. All that was left was 15,000 men. The hanoflim mea ve'esrim elef ish sholef charef. They lost 120 combat soldiers. So they had, 120,000. They had heavy casualties, right? So they lost 120,000 men. They're down to 15,000. Now 15,000 is still a lot more than 300, right? Which is what Gideon is coming with. But nonetheless, it's a much smaller force than they started with. They lost 120,000 men. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayal Gideon derech hashchunei va'oholim, mikedem lenovach, v'yogbaha. Gideon comes to the east of these cities called Novach v'yogbaha. He's coming to the east. He goes through the Bedouin camps, right? Hashchunei va'oholim. You look at the Mepharshim, they're literally describing the Bedouins, right? They say the Arabs that don't live in homes, but they live in tents, and they tend to their sheep. The Bedouins, right? So he's going through the Bedouin lands, okay, to the east of this of these places, Novach and Yagbaha. Why is he going there? Because he's coming at them from the side. He doesn't want to come straight at the city, straight at Karkor, where they are. He's coming to them, you know, in a roundabout way to surprise them. Okay? Vayachas hamachane vahamachane hayovetach. These people, you know, the camp, the Midianite camp, they were calm, cool, collected. They weren't expecting anything. Right? They were relaxing. They had just run for their lives. So they were probably resting and relaxing, and they felt that finally they were safe. Gidon realizes that they're not on guard, right? They let their guard down. The Mefarshim say this was also at night. So Gidon also had the element of surprise. It doesn't say that in the Psukim clearly, but the Mefarshim say this was still at night, so he had the element of surprise also. Gidon is very confident, even though, again, he's coming 300 against 15,000, right? He's totally outnumbered. But he's confident, he's coming at night. Their guard is down. He feels comfortable that he's going to be successful. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayanusu Zevach Vitzalmuna. So what happens? Gidon comes to the camp. He wipes out the camp. Zevach and Salmuna, they hightail it out of there. Right, the two generals, they see what's going on. They see their camp is being killed, is being conquered. They run. They run for the hills. Vayirdof Acharehim. But Gidon's not going to let them go this time. Right? Gidon gives chase to them. Vayilko Deshnei Malchei Midian. Es Zevach Ves Tzalmuna. He captures them. He takes them. The Chol Hamachane Hecharid. And the entire camp was in, again, pandemonium. Right? They couldn't. The soldiers, Mitzudas David said, the soldiers were so scared about what was going on, they couldn't even save their kings. They couldn't save the generals. It was totally pandemonium. And if you remember, again, this is what happened last time in the camp. Right? So they're still a little jittery, these guys, because they just were scared out of their wits the last time, and they ran for the hills. And keep in mind, they're running all the way into Eivor HaYarden, according to many of the Mefarshim. So they just ran a long way, you know, out of Eretz Yisrael, and they're still scared. They're still a little jittery. The Ralbag says, you know, it doesn't say in the Pesukim what Gidon did. Last time we had very clear descriptions. Gidon, you know, he banged the jugs and they're screaming and they're blowing the shofar. You know, they mamish like scared the guys out of their pants. So here it doesn't say that, but the Ralbag says, you know, maybe they did the same thing. You know, we don't know exactly. Maybe they came upon the camp again. It was still night, so they were surprised. Maybe they let out that battle cry again, Lashem, you know, the Lashem, Cherev Lashem ul Gidon, right? Maybe they let out that battle cry again. They scared these people half to death. The pasuk does say v'chol amachane hecharid, that the entire camp was petrified. So they must have scared them. They said, "Oh no, they're back!" Right? Keep in mind, imagine, right? Just imagine your 15,000 men who survived out of 135,000, 120,000 of your friends were killed, you know, by this crazy mob. Okay, you flee to the neighboring country. You finally think that you're at peace, that you're calm, that everything is okay, and all of a sudden, you're awoken in your sleep by the same sounds that you just heard the other night, right? Where you lost all your friends. These guys must have been petrified. Like, oh my God, they're back, right? They're going to kill us. And everybody went nuts. Everybody, it was total pandemonium. These guys ran, right? Zevach and Salmuna. They caught them and they killed them. They caught them and they killed them. Vayoshav Gidon ben Yoash min ha-melchama milamale hechores. Different interpretations exactly what milamale hecharas. Charas, all the mafarshim say, means the sun. So either it means that it was before sunrise. Some say it was right after sunrise. Some of the mafarshim say it was still before sunset. However you understand it. But Gidon ben Yoash comes back from battle. And we have to stop for tonight. But Amir Tzashem will see what he does to the people of Sukkos. Amir Tzashem next week. We'll see what he does to the people of Sukkos. And Penuel, and how he takes revenge for what they did for the chait of not feeding the Jewish army. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.